If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." George Cutting, a preacher in England, was bicycling through a certain village one day when he suddenly felt compelled to just shout out this verse, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." A few minutes later, he felt compelled to shout it out again, and so he did. He cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Pastor Cutting had no idea why he shouted out these words other than the fact that he was compelled to do so. 6 months later, he was visiting the same village one afternoon doing some evangelistic work from house to house. And he asked an elderly lady at one of the cottages, he said, "Ma'am, are you a Christian? Have you been saved?" And the lady quickly responded, "Yes, I have, preacher. In fact, I've been a Christian for almost 6 months now." And then she continued. One day, she said, "I was in the backyard hanging out my laundry." She said, "I was deeply distressed that day about my salvation. I had pleaded for God's help, but all to no avail. While I was hanging the laundry on the clothesline, the strangest thing happened. Out of the blue, I heard a voice cry out, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.' I didn't know what to think. Where did the voice come from? Was God answering my prayer? I said, 'God, if that's really you, will you please just repeat what you just said?' Sure enough, I heard that voice again cry out, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.' He said, I went into my house, knelt down and told the Lord, 'More than anything, Lord, I wanted him to take away all of my sin.' And she said, 'Preacher, that's exactly what he did. The Lamb of God took all of my sin away that day.'" Well, the story of the Lamb of God is one of the most fascinating in the entire Bible. It begins in the Old Testament in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and it ends in the New Testament, the very last verse in the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. I certainly cannot tell all of the story this morning, but I can tell some of it, and I want to share that with you today. The story begins with Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. When God created them, he placed them in the beautiful Garden of Eden, and they were innocent and they were sinless. They were so pure in mind and thought that even clothing was not needed. The scripture says that they were both naked, the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed. In chapter 3, however, it tells us that they disobeyed God and they sinned against him. God told them that they could eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden except the one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, "Of this tree you're not to eat, and if you do, you'll surely die." Well, as soon as they disobeyed God and they ate of that forbidden fruit, they became guilty. They were condemned and they were ashamed. And so we see them covering their nakedness by sewing fig leaves together and making them aprons for a covering. And they thought that if they covered their nakedness, that the guilt and the condemnation that they felt within their heart, that it would all go away. And they would feel like they felt when God first made them and placed them in the garden. It didn't work. They hid themselves from God among the trees because they feared the Lord. They knew in their hearts that we have disobeyed God. Now in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God gives us the first mention of the salvation that he is going to provide. And then in verse 21 of that same chapter, God made coats of skin and he clothed Adam and Eve. Now the coats of skin that God used to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve came from an animal that had been slain by the Lord. The Lord killed an innocent animal and probably more than one. And I am confident that it was a lamb because it says in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21, it tells us that God requires that the animal to be offered is to be a lamb. Now, God made garments from the skin of those lambs. And with that, he covered their nakedness. And it reminds us of the fact of God's covering for our own sins today. Arthur Pink, in his book on Genesis, said, "This is the first gospel sermon preached by God himself, all not in words, but in symbol and action." Let me read the verse in Genesis 3:21. It says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." Now, from this one verse, there are four things that God wants us to learn about his salvation. We learn, first of all, that salvation is of God. Now, it was God who made the coats of skin and clothed them. The apron of fig leaves did not work. They were made by Adam and Eve. They were made by man, and it didn't work. It was not acceptable to God. It reminds me of the fact this morning that what we try to devise and plan in order to cover our nakedness and our sinfulness, sometimes we think that we have a plan that's better than God. I've heard folks say, "Well, preacher, I can stay home and I can watch television and watch church on TV, and that's just as good." No, it's not. The Bible makes it quite plain that you're to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together in the house of God. He died for the church. The church is special and precious to him. And so man tries to devise his own plan. I've heard folks say, "Well, I can worship God out on the creek bank, you know, while I'm fishing. I'm close to nature, close to God." That's a bunch of bunk. Whatever we try to do will not remove the guilt and the shame. And then we learn that salvation is accomplished by the death of an innocent substitute. In order for God to clothe Adam and Eve with that skin, those coats of skin, an innocent lamb had to be killed. Now, the lamb did not deserve to die. The lamb was innocent. What a picture of the innocent dying for the guilty. And I say, what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He did not deserve to die. He had committed no sin. He had done nothing wrong. But Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory. Even before the foundations of the world was laid, he came and he purposed himself to come and die for the sins of all the world. Then we learn that salvation is accomplished by the shedding of blood. In order for God to get the skin of the lamb, in order to clothe Adam and Eve and give a covering for them, the lamb had to shed his blood. God didn't skin the lamb alive, rather he killed the lamb. There was bloodshed. He cared enough for us that he was willing to shed his lifeblood that we might have redemption. And then we learn that salvation is accomplished by the slaying of a spotless lamb. In Leviticus 22:21, we're told that the lamb that was to be sacrificed must be spotless. It must be without blemish. It could not be a sick lamb with scars and blemishes. It must be a lamb without any spot, without any blemish. It must be the very best of the best. God's only begotten Son. You see, I could see God searching throughout heaven to find someone qualified, someone that was willing to come and die, that met the qualifications, and there was only one, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he came from heaven's glory in order to make that possible for our redemption. Well, with these four guidelines in mind, I want us to look at chapter 4. The Bible tells us about Cain and Abel. They brought their sacrifices, their offerings before the Lord in acts of worship. Now, the Lord accepted the offering of Abel, but he rejected the offering of Cain. And the question is why? Why did God accept Abel's offering but reject the offering of Cain? Now, here's why. Because Abel brought a lamb, the Bible said. He brought of the first fruits or the firstlings of his flock and all the fat thereof. Cain, on the other hand, brought something else. He brought some of the crops that he had grown, that is, the fruits of the ground. And as fine as they were, they did not meet God's requirements. We do sometimes try to devise our own plans, and we think we're smarter than God. But God's way is not man's way naturally. A man must reach the point in his life that he realizes, I'm lost. I cannot help myself. I cannot redeem myself. I cannot get this guilt, this sin out of my heart and life. I need someone bigger than me. And there's only one. He told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, the offering must, without exception, be in accordance with and symbolic of the plan of salvation that God has for lost humanity. The plan involved a lamb. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that God, in order to take care of the sins of his people, told them that a lamb had to be sacrificed. The blood from that lamb had to be sacrificed in order that there might be atonement for sins. Each family, each person would sacrifice a lamb, and then at a point in time in the year, the high priest would go into the tabernacle, and he would go beyond the veil of the temple into the Holy of Holies. And he would take the blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish into that holy place, and he would make atonement for the sins of all the people. And for 1 year, they would be rolled up. And this went on and went on and went on, and all the sins were piled up, looking forward to the time when the great Lamb of God that comes in the fullness of time to take away the sins of all the world, he would die, go into the Holy of Holies. And he would give his own lifeblood there in order to make atonement for not only our sins, but all of those sins that had been rolled up. Jesus paid the price in order that we would not have to. Cain's barley was a good offering, but it just did not meet God's requirements. You see, barley doesn't fit into God's plan of redemption. And then the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 12, we have the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. God was about to deliver them from Egyptian bondage, and he gave unto them specific instructions. Each man was to take a lamb of a year old. It was not to be an old lamb, a feeble lamb, but it was to be the best of the best. It was to be a lamb without spot or blemish. And it was to be taken and killed for a family. And if the family was too small to eat all of the lamb, two families could come together. But on the 10th day of the month, the lamb was to be slaughtered and eaten. The blood of the lamb was to be put on the doorpost of the house where the meal was taking place. God said, on that same night, I will pass through the land and I will smite the firstborn of every household where there is no blood on the doorpost. Please get this. This is symbolic of our own salvation this morning. You see, the houses, however, where there is blood, he said, I will pass over and the firstborn will be spared. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I'm here to tell you this morning that the only way that you can make heaven your home is that there must be the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your guilty, wretched soul, and that blood will cleanse you of all your sin. And when he looks at our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ, he cannot see our sin anymore. Isaiah, some 700 years before the Messiah was to come, prophesied of a coming Redeemer. And he applied these same principles to that coming Redeemer. In Isaiah 53, it said, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb or silent, so he opened not his mouth. Up to this point, the sacrificial lamb had always been an animal. But Isaiah speaks of the lamb as being not an animal, but a person. What God did in Genesis chapter 3, what he did in Genesis 4, and what God did in Egypt, simply these are types of the Lamb of God who was determined even before the foundations of the world was laid, that he would come and die and make atonement for our sins. When John the Baptist proclaimed that day, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he was declaring that there is salvation in none other. Acts 4:12 said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must. The blood that I'm going to shed on Calvary's cross, it will be applied to your life and to your account. Well, does Jesus fit the standard of God for salvation? Let's put him to a test. Let's see this morning. Number one, salvation must be of God. Was Jesus of God? Oh, yes, most assuredly so. Jesus was God's choice for our salvation. He came during the fullness of time for the very purpose of redemption. He was the one that paid the price for the sins of all the world. Number two, salvation must be accomplished by the death of an innocent substitute. Was Jesus an innocent substitute? Oh, yes. He was innocent in that he had never done anything wrong. He had never done anything worthy of death. He was a substitute. Who was he substituting for? He was substituting for you and you and you and me. Aren't you glad that he was substituting for the whole world? He made it possible that everyone could have redemption. He died in our place. He died for us. Number three, salvation must be accomplished by the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. Did Jesus shed his blood? Oh, yes. Blood ran down from the back of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the scourging, the beating that he took. Blood flowed from the brow as that crown of thorns was buried upon his head. Blood ran from the hands and the feet from those three spiked nails. Blood ran from his riven side because of that spear. The song so correctly says, he gave his life blood for even me. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Salvation must be accomplished by the death of a lamb without spot or blemish. Was Jesus such a lamb? Most definitely he was. He was the sinless, holy, righteous Lamb of God. And because he was qualified to take away all the sins of the world. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch was stopped in his chariot and he had the Bible open to the book of Isaiah and he was reading about this Lamb of God. Philip came by and God brought them together and he asked him, said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And he began to preach unto him Jesus from that text and he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I must also believe that he is the Lamb of God if we are to ever obtain salvation. You can be baptized in every baptistry, pond, creek in this country, join every church in this country, and still not be a Christian. You must be born again. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross that day must be applied to your life and to your account. And when that happens, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Behold, I'll make you ruler over many." In the last book of the Bible, John had a vision of that which was to come. And he sees the Lamb of God before a vast number of angels and elders. And in unison, they all cry out, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and glory and might. Worthy is the Lamb." He is the Lamb of God that takes away all the sin. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's through him or not at all. Will you bow with me for prayer?